Thank you, and we're grateful, dear friends, for the privilege of broadcasting the gospel of the grace of God over more than 110 stations across America, in the Philippine Islands, in Australia, and even behind the Iron Curtain in communist China, by shortwave, of course. Now, in this broadcast, I'd like to speak to you about two men sent forth by God. In John 1:6, we read this statement: there was a man sent from God. Now, man's way in seeking to accomplish any great objective is generally to form a committee or a board to put the plan across in the biggest possible way, raising the necessary funds by the world's most effective method. God, in accomplishing his objectives, however, always uses individual men, never institutions. Never do we find him appointing a committee or board of directors to further his cause. Rather, we find him raising up and equipping individual men: Abraham, Moses, Joshua, Samuel, David, Elijah, Elisha, Daniel, Peter, Paul, Luther, Calvin, Moody, Spurgeon, and so on. There might be 12 apostles, but each is individually chosen to assist our Lord in his ministry, not to vote on his actions. There might be 7 deacons, but each individually must be recognized for his honesty and must be filled with the Holy Ghost and wisdom, Acts 6:3, to assist the apostles in their labor. God's method of accomplishing his purposes has always been to raise up and equip spirit-empowered men, accompanied and supported, in many cases, by others who recognize their leadership and share their burdens for the cause of Christ. The religious world keeps forever exalting institutionalism above God and his use of individuals. For this, Corinth, Dathan, and Abiram, along with their 250 men of renown, perished, objecting to the God-ordained leadership of Moses and Aaron. They complained, "You take too much upon you. Wherefore lift ye yourselves up above the congregation of the Lord?" That's Numbers 16:3. Actually, in this matter, they were gathered together against the Lord, says verse 11. These 253 men were ambitious. They thought that they should form Israel's ruling body and direct his destiny. But for their ambition and rebellion, God caused the earth to swallow them up alive. Moses and Aaron, like John the Baptist, were men sent from God for a particular purpose. Now notice further that it says there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Not the Reverend Mr. John D.D. Ph.D. and so forth, but simply John. That John did not wish to be reverent is clearly evident from his own words in John 1:19-23. The same passage indicates that had he lived in our day, he would have disdained the use of academic degrees in connection with his ministry. Is it objected that John has probably never earned such recognition? Well, Paul had earned it, yet he, like John, called himself simply Paul. He never urged his scholastic background to bolster his authority. He was an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, not by virtue of his intellectual achievements or scholastic standards. Let the secular world bestow such recognition for excellence in its various fields of learning. This may be quite legitimate, but how can one grade a keen conscience, or deep conviction, or true sense of attention, or insight into God's Word, or the power of the Spirit in proclaiming? And these are the qualifications of true Christian leadership. John needed no clerical titles or degrees. He was recognized for his stand, for his message, and for his life as a man sent from God. Now, if we would serve God intelligently and acceptably, we must recognize that his message for men today is not the same as that of John the Baptist or the early or the earthly Jesus. John was the forerunner of the King and his kingdom. Our Lord, while on earth, proclaimed the gospel of the kingdom, Matthew 4:23, which had to do largely with a way of life on earth, and is so evident from the Sermon on the Mount. But the King and his kingdom were rejected, as we learn from the book of Acts, and the world given up to justice. It was then, however, that God, in infinite mercy, saved Saul, the chief of sinners, to offer reconciliation by grace to individuals who would trust the crucified, risen, glorified Lord as their Lord and Savior. How graciously God had met the crying need of the hour. The gospel of the kingdom had been John's message, but the King and the kingdom are rejected, and now God raised up the Apostle Paul to send forth the good news of the grace of God. Well-meaning but misled and sometimes unregenerate leaders are forever trying to save society. The new evangelicalism places much emphasis upon what they call societal renewal. But it's too late for that. Our Lord as King would have renewed society, and at his return to earth, he will do just that. But for the present, he remains a royal exile from a world that is bringing about its own destruction. Religious leaders who teach the Sermon on the Mount as God's message for today, but never obey it, have failed to rightly divide the word of truth. Christ on earth proclaimed the gospel of the kingdom, but Christ from heaven sent Paul, the chief of sinners saved by grace, to proclaim the gospel of the grace of God. And this begins with redemption through Christ's blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And he goes on from here with grace upon grace. We're justified freely by his grace. We have a standing in grace. We receive the abundance of grace. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. God is able to make all grace abound toward us. In sickness, his grace is sufficient for us. One day God will show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. How wonderful. What a wonderful message to proclaim. And God used the chief of sinners saved himself by God's grace to proclaim. Will you acknowledge that you're a sinner? Will you get in line with Paul and follow him and say, yes, I'll acknowledge that I'm a sinner, and trust Christ as your Lord and Savior? By the grace of God, salvation may be yours today, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.